Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to the SmackDown review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Michael from What Culture to review everything that happened on this week's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review SmackDown but also Men and Raw, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete. A quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by fellow millionaire Michael Hamflett to review this week's episode of SmackDown. Gave me a bit of a look there when I described you as fellow millionaire Michael Hamflett.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking, I'll be honest, We started the SmackDown is cinema thing as a bit of a light jabbing of the poor quality of Friday Night SmackDown.
And the people that genuinely thought it was cinema too. Yes. It worked both ways. Yeah.
When we first started doing this, And yet we've spoken that into reality. So I figured, just throw some other stuff out there into the universe.
Smart. Yes, good.
We'll go from there.
This was new SmackDown catchphrase is just, we've won the lottery.
I mean, all of our dreams have come true.
Yeah.
Hang on one second, I've got a button for this. Chesterfield won again at the weekend.
You're joking. Not another one?
Brilliant My Games by the Spireites. Last home game of the season. Sell out. Over 10,000 people, which doesn't sound much to some football fans. There was like 8,000.
All wrestling companies.
80,000 people at like the Wembley for the FA Cup. But for us, that's ridiculous. 2-0 up. Last game of the season. My dad was yet again in an attendance. He got a season ticket, of course.
Yep.
And we thought, a bit boring that, innit? So probably give him 2 goals back. But hey, we're about to celebrate winning the title. Let's wait until the 90th minute, score an absolute screamer by Ollie Banks and win 3-2. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's the way to do it as well, isn't it? Wait when the season, you want that kind of high. Before he went nuts, before he went absolutely Billy Bollocks daft, remember Matt Letizia's last kick in his last game for Southampton?
Yeah.
For those uninitiated, I mean, welcome to the SmackDown podcast. But yeah, Matt, like in the Premier League here in England, Matt Letizia was this perennial. If he's not a one-club man, you don't need to know who else he played for. But he was known as a one-club man. He played for Southampton, who were never a high-achieving side. Matt Letizia had spent years of his career being this player that a lot of people believed should he make the step up to a side that would typically win more than Southampton typically did. His goals, of which there were many and often stunning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was known for scoring beautiful goals. Screamers from outside the box. These goals where he'd, like, beat all 10 and then do another lap of it. Just to mock.
Whilst he'd keep your peace.
With his ability. Never the fittest looking player aesthetically, but, like, had the fitness, could go 90 minutes, all that sort of stuff. Like, a Southampton legend, an icon, if you are a Southampton fan. But, again, Southampton, not as high achievers. There was always this feeling that, oh, well, if he'd have gone to, say, like a Man United or an Arsenal or a team of that pedigree back then, he would have won trophies and maybe sort of accelerated his chances of playing more for the English national team.
Yes.
Like, built on already impressive statistics, all that sort of thing. Nutcase now. Complete, like, Fruit Loop. A mean guy.
He's gone down the conspiracy hole of... they've gone down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
So much so that I think he was implying that the government controls the weather recently. And then he appeared on this bloke's podcast and you could see in his eyes, oh, I've gone too far here. Because the bloke was like saying, I don't know, like, Johan Cruyff and Princess Diana were going to pop back due to numbers.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? Even I'm going, what's going on?
No, that's because he at this point is thinking, well, hang on, if Cruyff's coming back, can I get 10 more years? Where is this machine that I can step into? But yeah, before all of that, he was just considered like fairly likable, all things considered. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Portsmouth fans wouldn't echo this, but liked by neutrals otherwise. And in his last ever kick in professional football, just scored a blinder for Southampton. I'm pretty sure he kept them up with it.
Wow.
I could be wrong about that. Like, super significant. Last thing he ever did, last touch the whole deal in his last game. Like, was already had one foot in punditry, but moved full-time into it. Again, football punditry, not politics punditry. That's really where it went wrong. Yeah. Why are we talking about that? Oh, yeah, Chesterfield's big game. Yeah, it's just nice when things end the way you want them to in kind of like the most poetic and spectacular fashion possible. So shout out to the Coventry fans today. I do not forgive and I do not forget long-standing relegations, one of which that took place before I was born. But one that didn't. I was there. I remember some stuff. And, we'll see you in the championship next season. You know, this wasn't for a promotion or anything. This was just for a nice little teeny tiny cup final. Hope you enjoyed your day out. This is why they put Wembley at the semis. It's a controversial decision. We've got to give these losers a day out before they even make it to the final.
Look, people, yeah, may think that's a little bit nasty. I'll try and give a bit of balance here.
Yeah, you do that.
That's probably the second best FA Cup semi-final that ended 3-3 I can think of. Probably have to just edge it out with Chesterfield 3, Middlesbrough 3. F*** David Ellery. Right.
Yeah, f*** Jimmy Hill as well.
Let's move on. Oh, yeah, we're here to talk about Friday Night SmackDown.
Another blue brand.
Oh!
After Chesterfield, Coventry.
See what we did there?
Yeah.
This was, yet again, sensational.
Was it?
I thought the bloodline angle has somehow got even better.
My energy levels might be low currently. It's a quiet office this morning, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
We all got up in the early hours or just stayed up late to watch AEW Dynasty. Full review coming later on, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's quite good.
More down this line later, I imagine. But as a result, like, that was a long show full of wrestling.
Yes.
And I think when there's been a pay-per-view, typically when there's a WWE pay-per-view, we don't really SmackDown for this reason. Like, Friday night / Saturday morning feels a long, long time ago. But my thoughts on this SmackDown on Saturday were that it was a bit of a show of two halves. I don't know if they got the structuring of this one a little bit wrong. I think ultimately the main event, like, struggled to get out of, like, not get out of first gear, but maybe get into top gear. Like, I just didn't really feel like the audience were with it, and maybe that was because they'd kind of already got what they'd come for.
Yes, maybe.
Like, there was a major bloodline follow-up segment. There was the, like, ramifications of the AJ Styles LA Knight match, and Bayley and Naomi, for all that, like, the match stood to deliver something decent, never had a result that was in doubt. And I just think it wasn't given the best chance to shine. There was, of course, a surprise at the end, which I know you especially would have been extremely pleased with. And I don't hate it either, by the way. But yeah, when we go through review, maybe I'll be just proving a hypocrite, but I feel like when I was watching it, everything was like a very, very gradually decreasing line graph from where it started.
I should say about AEW Dynasty, there were some really good matches on that show. I just kind of prefer my wrestling to tell stories rather than just be wrestling in front of me. So, you know. And by the way, don't snitch tag Sidgwick. That's the reason I'm saying it now, because he's not here to murder me, obviously, for my light-hearted jabs.
Nobody likes the grass.
Speaking of which, over the weekend, my beautiful wife, Annalise, I'm going to say that now because someone will probably tag her in this one again.
You've been grassed off?
Yeah. So we had... not an argument.
Where's this going?
A disagreement around how to hang the washing. So,
right, yeah. I've heard your side of this.
Full disclosure, I'm a little bit OCD about this. Yeah. There are levels, not to just this game.
On the rack.
But also to the rack, yes. Your bottom level interior,
You got the heated one yet from Lakeland? You got the electric?
No.
Get involved, man. Like, we don't use a tumble dryer anymore.
I'm going to raise some money on Cameo. More on that soon.
Hey-o!
We'll go from there.
You'll be bored rigid of that soon enough. We'll be all over that, man.
So,
like a rash.
So, yeah, interior levels of the hanger are for pants and socks.
Yep.
Exterior are for, well, generally I'll go trousers off, mid-level outer, hanging down. Obviously, can't hang anything below that because they'll be touching. And what are we doing here? Come on, guys.
Hang on, though. Wait a minute.
And top levels, close the circle off. Top levels are for T-shirts flannels and what have you. In a thing that I have coined the term, trademark, please do not apply for any, what they called? Yeah, trademarks. Yeah,
patent pending.
Yeah, thank you. I term this wetiquette.
That's good. I like wordplay.
Because I'm a simple man who insists that there should never be an entire hanger's worth of clothes dedicated just to pants. They need to be smattered across two or three of them if you're so rich to have that. Aloise tweeted, Adam Wilmore just spent the last 15 minutes having a go at me about wetiquette, the term he uses to describe how to properly hang wet laundry on an air dryer. Would this come under irreconcilable differences, or is there a box for insanity? And I tweeted, because Sidgwick and I have actually had shoot conversations about the correct way to hang clothes to dry them, that Sidgwick would back me up. And Twitter user WT, we're not allowed to ban people from listening to this podcast, are we?
I like WT. Mm. Wolves fan, I think.
Indeed he is. I'm joking. I would never ban someone from listening to this podcast. But he did say, wait till she hears what he said on the SmackDown podcast. Set up a chain of events on Saturday evening.
These podcasts, which can be broadcast to absolutely anybody all over the world, are sacrosanct amongst us and our listeners.
Yes.
You should know that. Just because you can get them wherever you get your podcast, you can listen to all of the conversation in full. It's a walled garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
So I'm sat there doing a bit of work after Eric's gone to bed on Saturday night, and suddenly I hear an excellent podcast coming from the other room. And Louise walks in and she's listening to the first, 20 minutes of the SmackDown preview?
Right.
Going, what have you said? And me going, what? No. But all's good. But, you know.
Come on, guys.
What we say on this podcast.
Play the game.
It's between me and you. And whoever's listening.
Yeah, and you're listening to you.
And the 60 million people who've listened.
60 million.
Yeah, we need to do a proper celebration.
We need a graphic for that, but we're going to be like going on about that quite a bit, I would imagine, in the next week. 60 million.
Also, full disclosure, I did not cut both lawns. I know I promised. I failed you.
And that was on the podcast as well, yeah.
I cut the back lawn and filled the green bin up. So what am I supposed to do? Also, I was too lazy on Saturday to do it, so I was rushing around before the FA Cup semi-final on Sunday to do it.
Praying for rain. Oh, bloody hell. I was all ready to do it. I had my I Love Lawn Mowing hat on and everything. To be fair, like, your back... Wilburn's got two lawns, guys. Your back lawn, it's got, like, that incline, hasn't it?
Yeah, I wish it was flat.
It looks hard work. Like, I have a flat back garden, which, by the way, I've got AstroTurfs.
I was about to say, you get AstroTurfs.
So the kids could play football on it, and I never had to have that Saturday dilemma ever again. But it's just the one. It's postage stamp size anyway, which is where Josh puts it in the top corner because of the AstroTurf. Allows him to practice all the time. Dries almost instantly. Lucky, ultimately. I see your lawn, and what a beautiful garden you've created and curated, by the way. Adam Wilborn, a low-key garden guy.
That's all Anne-Louise. I just do the grunts.
Well, you talk the talk when you come in here. You know some of the big words with all the syllables, and I don't know those flowers. But I looked at that. I remember the first time I came around and saw your back garden and the incline it was on. I was like, oh, brother.
Thankfully, we've got a big park nearby for when Eric's ready to play football.
Because he can play there.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of the garden. Front lawn, does it go downwards then? Has it got that sense?
Yes.
Oh, man.
It's nice, and you can sit on it for a nice picnic, and we've got the decking now, so that's good.
But for mowing, it's
that's pain in the
real big.
So I'm also so old now that just pushing a lawnmower around, a fly mow as well.
Yeah.
So really light legs hurt today.
I did, I should say, I briefly broke my Twitter fast, my X break.
Did you see Brian's thing?
Well, so this was it, right? I went on to, I'd done an interview recently with Tom Talks Rubbish.
Yeah.
And I was made aware that Tom was publishing over the weekend, so I wanted to go on and share that for Tom. Thanks again for having me, Tom. It was a great interview. Check it out on his YouTube channel. But as a result, I was directed to Brian's Stacey's Moam tribute. Just fantastic work.
Amazing.
That almost made me. All I want to do is maybe have another week, another 2 weeks, just off the app, and then I'll dive back in with both feet again, realistically.
Just in time for backlash.
Well, indeed. And I just almost just stayed on there. And then I was like, I was looking at these. I was like, oh, I could just go for it now. Couldn't I just live on Twitter again? But I did take myself off for the good of the game for the time being anyway. I have kids to attend to and all that sort of stuff.
Anyway, SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Opens. Everyone's walking, arriving at the show, turning up for work, basically.
I want you when you want me sleep. Boop, 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 boop. That's all I hear now when people walk, because I think they're WrestleMania ones.
And it opened with the number one contenders match to see who will face Cody Rhodes for the WWE Undisputed Championship at Backlash. It was AJ Styles versus L.
Right. Yeah.
He's seen his beat Solo Sikoa on the live show like 12 times in a row.
Yeah.
Also, did you see that crowd for the London WWE live show?
Amazing. I was jealous. I wish
insane.
I was there.
And the Gladiators showed up, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah.
I did not.
You must have, because you wouldn't have seen this on Twitter. People were tweeting us. On the WWE live show in London, I think, some of the new Gladiators rocked up for some reason.
What, in their gear?
I mean, fine if I can see
Oh,
that.
My God.
WWE live.
They hit the ring like Nexus. Just tore it up.
There was a team, was it? They were helping. WWE live, Gladiators. That was it. Apollo crashed the WWE live London show. For a row, according to Gladiators TV on X, with JD McDonough.
Wow.
There you go. There he is with Ricochet.
Oh, yeah. I like Apollo as well.
Yeah.
I like that he's gone in his full Gladiators attire as well.
Also, like the second tweet is, who the hell's Apollo from the Gladiators? We'd have popped our tits off if he just showed up. They should have had Dynamite on there. That would have been really funny.
That would have been great.
Anyway, AJ Styles, LA Knight, yeah.
Yeah.
Knight's in control early on, sends Styles to the outside and does that bit where he slams him off his head off the commentary table. And everyone, yeah.
They did, yeah, for everything in this match. Everything he did.
When we come back, Knight fires back up. They both go for a crossbody, though, and take each other down. It's a little bit of a pause as that's going on. Styles eventually gets up to the top rope. Knight goes up. Styles knocks him off. Knight does that. Jump up to the top rope spot and superplex Styles for a two. But Styles came back, hit that great moonsault into a reverse DDT that he does. That got a near fall for him. He set up for the Styles clash, but Knight got out of it. Knight went for the clothesline. Styles came back with a Pele kick. Styles tries for the phenomenal forearm, but Knight caught Styles and hit a power slam and an elbow that looked great. Teased the blunt force trauma, but Styles got out of it. And Styles goes for the eyes and that allows him to get LA Knight away. He was on the apron when this happened, by the way. Phenomenal forearm. 1, 2, 3. AJ Styles is the number one contender. The right call?
Yeah, it was the right call. AJ Styles is clearly the one for me was I always associate with TNA, but the backflip into the Scorpion Death Drop reverse DDT he does. He is dusting off old stuff ahead of what I think is going to be a bit of a blinder with Cody Rhodes at Backlash. If you think about how hot that crowd is going to be, how much people just love watching Cody in general, and AJ Styles knowing that this is, like, not the last, but one of the last big main event matches he's probably going to have ever.
Yes.
I think he's going to go all out at this show, and you've kind of seen him tease out more and more. Like, look at how he's got to this point, you know, with this win here and with the Styles clash onto...
And that body.
And how jacked he is.
Oh, my God.
In the prior week match, there was a ceiling on what these two could achieve realistically, but with this and the WrestleMania match, I think their chemistry has reached it.
Yeah,
I've quite enjoyed the AJ Styles LA Knight matches. I don't think they'll be in any lists or contention for match of the year or anything like that, but I think this is, like, I would classify this one especially, because, like, if you'd have taken Styles and LA Knight off of WrestleMania and had it be like a TV payoff, you know, when some of those feuds just wrap on television instead, I think it would be sort of exemplary as a what you want out of a WWE TV match, I think. Action, but not anything that outstays its welcome. Definitive outcomes. Like, I always talk about, like, consequences and stakes and ramifications, of which AJ Styles gets this, like, chance, not just to win the title, but ultimately, like, to prove his worth in this main event slot, because I didn't think much of, like, the four-way at the Royal Rumble, for example.
I think they're going to introduce Gallows and Anderson into this as well still.
I think they might, yeah. I think I could well see that they're good heaters for, like, and we've seen how good Cody is at, like, suffering the consequences of a numbers game and then immediately having friends because they've really preserved his babyface integrity as a guy that has lots of mates that people will come out and make the saving of. Like, overexcitedly and giddily booked the Good Brothers versus Good Brothers. By the way, at this point, despite having no, I should, like, little aside, despite having no interest in wrestling, I will never get them. My youngest, Josh, loves saying yeet because it pops him.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest, Charlie, with no reference of the catchphrase, just simply doesn't like it and goes, no yeet.
Brilliant.
That has happened organically. So maybe it wasn't the Usos all along. Maybe it was just yeet and the power of it.
I also think that, you know, some people may say, oh, brilliant, typical 50-50 booking from WWE. It is 50-50 booking because they've both won one big one each. But I really like, I feel like it's got both guys over. LA Knight got the big win at WrestleMania, first WrestleMania, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets all the benefits from that. And like you say, all the yeah around WrestleMania is going to live on for quite some time. Mm. And AJ Styles learns from that experience, ah, LA Knight's better than me. I have to cheat. And now he gets something from it. He's the number one contender. And he goes into the Cody Rhodes match, in my booking at least, going, well, he's better than me. So I'm going to need some people to give me a bit more of a chance. Oh, I'll ask these two, who just are always ready to ride or die for me, sort of thing.
The one thing I will say with LA Knight,
I can't
quite work out what happens next.
Draft.
Yeah,
I think that's feasible because he's not winning the Universal title. Whatever.
Could you make him
now,
like, give him the Money in the Bank this year? Is he a guy that's had his shot and thus doesn't?
It was meant to be last year, wasn't it? We were watching
this. Was it like, does he, because he's had his shot against Roman and lost and then had to be like very gracefully shunted down the card. Do you go again with him down the line? Do you try and strap him up with a mid-card title at some point? Like, we were talking about Logan Paul for the US time, title. And they never got there, so SummerSlam is always there on the cards. I suppose it's in Logan Paul's hometown, isn't
Cleveland.
It? Cleveland. So I can't quite work out yet where
Slim Jim like, briefcase?
Love it. I'm loving all of it.
I'm going to have to go with Sami Zayn for Money in the Bank.
Car, a briefcase, four wheels attached to it, Slim Jim branding. It's also a car. So when he wants to cash in, it just drives.
Like when they ride on suitcases, you see kids. Why haven't they made an adult version of that?
A trunkie, I believe, is the kids.
Is that what they're called?
I think that's what the kids one's called.
Why isn't there an adult one?
A junkie.
There probably is. They're just incredibly expensive.
A ride on suitcase?
Yeah.
Like a ride, like that you just drive through the airport?
Yeah. You sit on it and beep beep. Out of the way.
Oh, bloody word.
Roadblock.
Suitcase.
They probably do invent this. It probably just costs. I'll have a look in a minute. Anyway, we get a video recap.
I think the kids one was originally going to be called Sid because Shawn Michaels called it the biggest piece of luggage in WWE history.
We get a video recapping the amazing developments of the Bloodline and Tama Tonga last week. And then a nice fancy car pulls up in the back and out comes Solo Sikoa. Ooh, dressing all smart now.
Somebody's rented a suit.
He's got a jacket on. And Heyman's waiting for him. He's like, hey, Solo. Last week was weird, but nice threads. And then yeah. Tama Tonga appears directly behind him. He's like, oh, look, behind me, isn't he? Solo says, wise man, meet the newest member of the Bloodline, my MFT. MFT is not explained. NFT, I know, is the monkey in a sunglasses non-fungible token thing.
Yes.
A brief Google tells me that Tama Tonga is a managed file transfer for Solo Sikoa. I don't think that's correct, but he does the hug. Yeah. And I like the fact that Tama just the whole time is just looking at Paul Heyman. And Heyman's like, Solo. And he goes, shut up. Is Kevin Owens here? Eventually, he's like, probably.
Yeah.
It's work. And he goes, take me to him. And Paul Heyman slowly, in a terrified manner, leads them into the building.
I will go into more details on this, I suppose, after the payoff to all of this. But I will say that, obviously, with what we can assume to be The Rock pulling the strings behind the scenes, like, we just assume, well, it's 2024, Rock, isn't it? It's motherfucking Tama.
I really like that as a pitch.
Like, leaving that as a mystery, which isn't quite on a par with, well, what did Rock hand Cody? These things
it's
that could
something
have.
Cody bought him. That's yeah. what, it's slowly these...
could have huge ramifications going down the line. This is probably just going to be a bit of fun one week on an Instagram video, isn't it? The Rock's back.
Mm.
Time to swear.
We see some members of the Pittsburgh Steelers shown in the SmackDown crowd. Go Steelers.
Okay.
And then the SmackDown GM, I forget what his name is. Yeah. We forgot to, I really apologise, because as I was editing the podcast on Friday, I realised I forgot to do the...
Ah, yeah.
So apologies if people were looking forward to that. We'll do it at the end here, even though it completely makes no sense. SmackDown GM, whatever his name is, introduce Booker of the Year, Triple H, Paul Indeed. Levesque, who reluctantly comes out and gets a Triple H chant and puts over WrestleMania, great, most epic WrestleMania of all time.
Name. Sing his, and they're like, we can't remember it. We'll have to sing yours.
Welcomes everyone to SmackDown. Really a match, Paul. Yeah. But anyway... He says Adam Pearce and whatever SmackDown general manager is called are doing great jobs in their roles. And he gets the SmackDown GM to introduce the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, who I've gone from, yeah, they'll be a fun team to take it off of too. I think they should hold these titles for the rest of the year, actually.
Works this, doesn't it?
AJ and Dan Ander, they come out and they say, nice of you to present the second place winners from WrestleMania with their tag titles on Monday. But the real champs are here now, basically. And Paul Levesque's like, sure. Anyway, here are your new tag titles. And
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I thought the Raw ones, were, I mean, anything was going to be an improvement on what they previously had.
Yeah.
These are beautiful.
Well, do you remember that? I was wrong. We had that big debate where, like, there was no, I didn't think there was red on them. On
yes.
The, like, not to make him sound like Shaun of the Dead battles, but, like, Sid was like, there's red on them. And as a result, we all kind of assumed, oh, well, they're just going to be the flags, but in blue rather than red.
AEW's got blue on it, hasn't it?
Yes. It's got a globe. The AEW tag belts, up until Friday, were my favourite belts in all of wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, love AEW's tag belts. And the like AEW World title is lovely as well. I mean, he knows what he's doing with these tag belts, doesn't he? They're, like, much like the SmackDown tag titles of the early 2000s, they are all paying tribute to what most people consider. It's funny this, isn't it? Like, I'm not trying to... dust off one of our old catchphrases, be born earlier, or just try and tell a bunch of people, it was better, that's why I know. But like, it's funny when people lean on specific designs of titles, they fall on a set of designs from the exact same era as the era I'm talking about. Oh, Cody, bring back the Winged Eagle. You brought back the best Intercontinental title. Oh, what tag belts are they inspired by? Oh, those ones as well, isn't it? It's funny that, yeah. They're gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous. And it's almost infuriating as a shoot that these gorgeous belts are being held by these complete bastards, and that's probably the point as well.
Yeah,
they like, I need to see them taken off them and given to, like, wearers that deserve them.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
I like the bit where they get their new titles and their bell ends, and it looks like they're going to shake Triple H's hand, and they mug him off completely.
It's a good bit, this.
I don't know if this is a phrase that Americans use, but I'm going to use AJ and Dan Ander mug off Triple H in the show notes.
Yeah.
Well, he gets pied. He gets done, basically. Because I think it's Waller goes, thanks very much. Woo! Swerve and shakes Austin Theory's hand. There were some great things on X doing the rounds on Saturday of like Triple H having immediate flashbacks of just killing tag teams.
Yeah, London and Kendrick laying there flat on the ground.
And the SmackDown GM says, you ever disrespect him again and I'll make you disappear for good. So I assume the family's getting called up to SmackDown. And... then they are about to have the four-way for the number one contender match for the tag titles next.
Yeah, gorgeous belts. And yeah, just to reiterate the point, really, I don't think it's going to be the winners of the match that we saw, but I think one of these days a team will win and you'll be grateful that finally the belts are in the hands of people that deserve them. Mm.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We go backstage. Hey, Kayla! Is there with Naomi, who says, look, Bailey's my sister. Whatever happens in this match is not going to get in the way of our friendship. But I am looking forward to the draft next week because I'm going to be the new WWE Women's Champion. Yep. And then we got the four-way for the number one contendership. It was Street Profits, New Catch Republic, Legado del Fantasma, and AOP. Tyler Bate and Montez Ford start the match. Nice bit where they both go for a drop kick at the same time and pop up at the same time. But basically, after a while, AOP goes, right, enough of all this, and kills everyone to take us to a break. We come back in. And we come back from the break, sorry, and then in comes Bate and Dunn. Rezar is alone with the two of them eventually. Bate tries to lift him but can't quite, but with a bit of help, manages to get him on the shoulders, goes to the airplane spin, but Angel and Umberto break that up. There's a sort of Tower of Doom spot with most of them, and Tyler Bate gets double gorilla pressed off the top.
Oh, that's great. Like, I keep saying this, I really like New Catch Republic, and it shouldn't feel like such a guilty pleasure, but I'm into these. Like, this is working. It's a bit like the Re-X thing on Raw. It's like, oh, fine, you've won me over.
I felt a bit sorry for them initially at WrestleMania, where the screen didn't have their...
I know. Real production goof, wasn't it? All the credit they're getting. There was a few little gaffes like that with the entrances and stuff. And it was, whose name was it in the background?
I think it might have still been Awesome Truth. Maybe Awesome Truth were probably last ones out, actually.
But yeah, they were walking out and you just, come on.
Come on, do the
stuff.
Do the thing. But anyway, where are we? Oh, yeah, Tower of Doom, Bate, double gorilla press. They get an assisted powerbomb for a near fall on Bate. Then there's stereo ankle locks from the New Catch Republic on Legado, but that gets broken up for another break. Resolve powerbombs Dawkins as we come back. That looked great. Bate gets knocked down. They go for the super collider on the New Catch Republic, but they get out of it, knock AOP outside. Big parade of moves. Umberto hits that springboard spinning kick to the face for a near fall. Dawkins comes back. There's the Doomsday Blockbuster from the Street Profits, which looks awesome. Tyler Bate took off Dawkins' glove and then snapped his fingers. Or maybe Dunn, actually.
Yeah, Dunn's
sorry.
About, yeah.
Then the Republic and Ford all do big flip dives to the floor. We go back in. Umberto clotheslines Bate. Lion salt from Angel. But Ford does a huge frog splash to break it all up. And they hit the revelation on Angel for Dawkins to get the 1-2-3. Street Profits are new number one contenders.
Yeah, you can't help. They didn't specify, did they? You know, we were talking about whether or not it would be Backlash or SmackDown. The fact that it wasn't booked for Backlash makes me think it'll be a TV match.
Mm.
They didn't announce it.
No. I would quite like it to be on the pape, to be
honest. Yeah, me too. I don't think the Street Profits are going to win. This was like, really, this was just a well-worked, cohesive spot fest.
Yes.
And like, it didn't need to be anything more than that. But I think this was engineered, as these things are, for every team to get a little bit of shine. I think the AOP are having a half decent little run, you know. I know that we're
in the NXT tag titles pretty soon, aren't they?
Yeah, we have a little bit of a laugh at Mega Glove's expense. But I remember AOP first time around, they showed that they could be carried. They were never that great on their own steam, but they had enough matches with enough great teams. And I'm talking great, like American Alpha,
yes.
DIY, The Revival. That in there with, like, greatness echoes greatness, many have said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can echo the greatness of others. And I'm seeing it with these, like this NXT run over the last couple. It just looked really violent, didn't they, last week's show? And here again, they know where to put themselves and they know how to look impactful. So I'm really warming to AOP.
Yeah.
And yeah, like a good win for the Street Profits, but I can't see them winning the belts.
We get a video package recapping, unfortunately, Rhea Ripley dropping the title, and we'll talk more about that on the Raw preview. Bayley gets interviewed, appreciates being the champion, especially right now, seeing she's the only women's champion in the WWE. So I assume Roxanne Perez doesn't exist. The draft might change things next week, but her being champion isn't going to change anytime soon. And then Solo is walking in Gorilla, and Heyman's like, we haven't found Kevin Owens yet, but he's bound to be here somewhere. And Paul's like, Solo, I'm happy that you're leading this group in the Tribal Chief's absence, but you're making decisions you shouldn't make. And one of these days, you will be the man to make all the decisions. But right now, only one man can make these calls. And Solo just goes, are you done? It's just so ominous. Mm-hmm. And he goes, come on, out we go. He's like, is your NFT coming with you? Whatever. And I like the fact that Solo, it's terrifying. I've got my thumb taped up because I'm going to try and stop someone from breathing with the Samoan spike in a second. But it also does look like a thumbs up.
Yeah.
They come out anyway.
What's the game where there's like characters, there's a big thumb up for the branding of it?
Oh, Fallout.
Fallout, yeah. That's what it makes me think of when he's like, when the thumb appears ominously in shot. I think it's that Fallout character.
Basically, it's a long-running tease I've worked out that's going to link back to the Bloodline. Long-term storytelling, of course.
Yeah.
Because Solo is basically saying to everyone,
hey, 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 you all right?
Paul Heyman comes out and he tries to be the old Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. He didn't know if there was a list for some of the best backstage politicking people ever in WWE, but if there is one, he'd be near the top. There's a We Want Roman chant. Oh, I see. You're always the ones bad, man. I mean, now you want him back, do you?
Look at that. Just on that, because I'm going to be a little bit critical of something shortly. That is a sign that this is already working. Like the fans have picked up exactly what they're supposed to think here, which is that Solo's an imposter, that he can't lace Roman's boots, all that sort of stuff, regardless of like Roman as the heel. Cody put Roman over huge.
Yes.
As the outgoing champion. So they're already getting the desired response 2 weeks into this Bloodline reboot sort of thing. So they're just going by the Bloodline, aren't they? They're not sort of, they haven't been given a 2.0.
Yeah, no, not as far as I'm aware.
That chant was meaningful, I thought.
It's almost like if instead of, going out every single week, working matches, cutting promos, glomming onto the younger talent in the company to try and make yourself stay relevant, if you just went away for a while, people might actually miss you and support you. Anyway, AW Dynasty review featuring Chris Jericho versus Hook coming later on. Anyway, Heyman's doing all that. I'm the wise man, and Solo just takes the mic off him. Deafening boos at this point. Eventually, Solo can get his words out.
For those that haven't watched, it's like a Dominic Mysterio segment. This.
Yeah, he's not for want of trying. He's just like, you can't hear him. Mm-hmm. And he says, last week I had to lose a brother to find my non-fungible token, Tamatonga. That's what it is now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't bury this because this was awesome.
Jimmy Fallon and Paris Hilton, man.
Last week.
Yeah, this guy. It's kind of like me. My daughter has those glasses and I like boats.
I got crypto to a certain extent. It's just a stock, right?
Yeah.
NFTs were just, what?
Wild, that, wasn't it?
Like, I read something the other day that said the Charlie Bit My Finger video, the infamous one, was sold as an NFT for like $1 million. But the way I saw this was a tweet on X with the video. What?
Hmm.
So do you have to pay royalties to the...
Was that the deal where the family, I think I'm not your NXT guys, but the family that, well, I guess like Charlie's parents or whatever, like that video was shared all over before they could really make money off it.
Mm.
So was the NFT there way to like, well, we got something for this. Like,
was that and
eight gazillion YouTube hits or something and not a penny to the family. And they're like, right, we're going to use NFTs to get back in the game.
Yeah, I think so.
They must look upon Lad Baby and just think, oh, hang on, this is not fair. We could have had all that.
That was it. I knew I found this. I saw this as well. Disaster Girl. Remember Disaster Girl?
The like girl, there's like fire and flames going in the background, yeah.
Made $500,000 selling the memes as an NFT. I think she gave it all to pay off her student loans and donate the rest to charity, which is decent.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what that means.
I wonder how that works with a lot of like... people that are known for their memes.
Mm.
You know the guy from the BBC Three show? pointing at his head.
Yes.
Smart. Like, you can't monetize it. I sound like the dead man here. You can't monetize a GIF. You got to get out there and work. But, like, it feels like there should be a way in which they are remunerated for their contributions to culture.
Yeah, because I always fall back on that.
Yeah. Smart guy. Just because you're a smart guy, and you know what? You haven't paid a penny for it. That's why you press it. This is press your headception.
But, yeah, we're getting off topic here because this mate was amazing. So he said, I had to lose a brother to find Tamatonga. Mm. The moment he says Tamatonga, not only does Tama come out, but a bloodied up Kevin Owens is dragged out, Batista on Ric Flair-esque, with him.
With a little bit of like the Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, viscous acidic liquid.
Yes.
The bolognese beat down.
But he's stumbling to the ring, he goes down, and Tama Tonga, hang on, I'm just pressed D's nuts there. Tama Tonga,
oh my God,
just steps over him, heads to the ring. The officials are there to try and help Owens survive, basically, whilst Tama and Solo and eventually Heyman do the ones. But Owens is like, no, I'm not having this. He tries to get in there and brawl with the bloodline. And he does get into it with Tama Tonga, but Solo cuts him off, slams him into the ring steps. More brawling, more security. Solo drops in with a Samoan spike. The security try and separate them. Tama gets a chair, but then the SmackDown GM, can't remember what his name is, comes down and tries to settle everything. But the only person who actually tells Tama, that's enough, let's go, is Solo Sikoa. There's blood on Tama's body, which looks...
Oh my God.
And they walk away with a visibly shaken Paul Heyman.
Yeah, like another rousing success.
Oh, my God, I loved it.
Week two for this Bloodline reboot for Tama Tonga, especially. Yeah. I want to, like, isolate for praise. The handling of Tama Tonga. I never want this to come across like...
I feel a bit guilty for calling Tommy Tango for a while now. Now I can see what he can do.
Well, I mean...
I did see him take out Phil Chambers about 3 yards away from me.
This was it, yeah. It was on a podcast row, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we know that you can get physical. And we know that this sort of thing, ultimately, it could have gone worse for Phil. That's what we've learned here.
Yeah.
But I'm all for, like, Tama Tonga is not a bad wrestler by any means, but I'm all for delaying the inevitability of a match, a tag match, or whatever, in much the same way they delayed it for Solo Sikoa.
Yeah.
Like, the problem comes is that in doing that, you then slot Solo Sikoa naturally into the Roman Reigns role, or at very least, one of the Usos. And I'm just not feeling it yet. I think the suit is a grower. I don't mean that he has to grow into it. Borrowed it. Like, I think it was a step too far. I think, like...
I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt in terms
I thought of... the aesthetic
he thinks
quite...
he has to dress this way.
Yeah. I've got a bit of latitude for it as well. I just thought because it looked a bit funny, it took away from how serious they've played this hand so far. Especially because Heyman was good. I know his overacting isn't always for everyone, but I've quite enjoyed Heyman as a guy that's now a bit scared for his life going to work. Like, his life has gone from sublime to ridiculous, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, now... Like, he always feared Roman Reigns, but he always knew that he had his back, fundamentally. He doesn't know what to think anymore. In the words of Stone Cold Steve Austin on every podcast that he ever broadcast, he doesn't know whether to wind his watch Paul Heyman right now.
Yeah, really good. And I like the fact that it got lost in terms of, like, this was an amazing segment and people were so obsessed with the jacket. It was like, yeah, but what about everything around it? Like, immediately after the break, where the SmackDown GM, forget what his name is, grabs Paul Heyman. He's like, do you know what's gone on here? And he's obviously just seen this and he's like, sort of. And he leads him out to the back and there's two cars smashed up. Basically, Tama's driven his car into Kevin Owens's and obviously destroyed him and says the SmackDown GM says this is too far, this is insane, the draft's next week, I'm not going to tolerate this kind of savage behavior. Heyman's like, I get it, but I can't really control him. And the SmackDown GM says, if the Bloodline doesn't understand, then the consequences for them are going to be equally as savage. Losing isn't the only thing with consequences.
Fantastic, really great follow-up here. Again, you've shown the visual of the two colliding vehicles that have paid off why Owens is in such a bad way, covered in blood, all that sort of thing. There is bloodline law with vehicular attacks because Remember Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman in the ambulance that time?
Brock and the pitch, the forklift.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. I'm being silly. But this was an earnestly good segment. I've always really enjoyed, we kind of flagged this up since he got the job, I've always really enjoyed the SmackDown GM's little ongoing turf war with the Bloodline. Who runs SmackDown? And he's
not scared of him.
No, he insists it is him. And at some point, as you know, as he kind of mentioned, the consequences will be dire. And that feels like it felt with Roman that it was heading towards kind of an untenable point where there would be a fight or there would be some sort of beatdown or something. It feels like we're back there again. To not show fear in the face of Tama Tonga is the opposite of the days when Stephanie McMahon would just slap mid-carders. Ugh. This is maybe show a bit of fear because I think he might deck you. But I don't want to see that because I've gained respect for the figure in this in the like authoritative chair now. Mm. So I do really like this. I think what has to come, it's pro wrestling, I get it. There probably has to be Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga versus two people.
Yes.
Maybe Kevin Owens plus one, I don't know. That'll be an enormous test of absolutely whether or not all of this has legs. But I, broadly speaking, so far so good. And I love Owens as a like perpetual, you just won't go away rival of the Bloodline. I really love, genuinely love that story. That it will always pop me that whenever like they think they've got like a clean route ahead, there'll be Kevin Owens to say, no, actually, no, you've once again got to go through me. I like that.
I'll tell you what wasn't earnest, though. You said that was earnest. Mm-hmm. The bad faith takes on social media of when Jack Perry smashes a windscreen, that's bad. Or wants to smash a window, that's bad. But if it's a car crash in WWE, that's great. Wasn't a rental car, quite obviously. Dumbass.
Well, I don't even get that correlation.
Perry wanted to, not the spot from all in.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't want it to be part of Collision.
Because they were just going to smash up a rental car.
Yeah.
They didn't go rent two cars from Hertz or whatever and go, yeah, can we have the all-over insurance policy? So if we, you know, want to drive both cars into each other, that's kind of covered.
Yeah.
I think they probably planned that out more than just, anyone got a car we can smash up tonight?
That's an obvious difference, yeah.
I need your help with what came next, okay. Actually, because Legado del Fantasma are interviewed by Kayla, and Santos Escobar says, look, I've got no problem taking responsibility for kicking people's asses and attacking people and what have you and hospitalizing people, taking people out of stuff. But I didn't attack Dragon Lee. If they didn't attack Dragon Lee, who on earth did?
Carlito.
Well, it's funny you mention him because he was in action against Santos Escobar next.
Yeah.
Drop kicks Santos to the outside early, sends him into the commentary table, springboard splash to the outside, and then he celebrates with Zelina Vega on his shoulders to take us to a break. When we come back, Escobar's coming back as well.
On his shoulders, you say?
Frankensteiner from the second rope for a two count. Carlito fires back up, loads of clotheslines, running knee lift, goes up top, but Electra Lopez distracts the ref. Her and Vega get into it, and with all that going on, Escobar just low blows Carlito, Phantom Driver, 1, 2, 3. It's like, it's almost as if Carlito can lose as much as possible right now because he's going to turn from a face to a heel potentially soon. It's not going to matter.
It is almost as if that's happening, isn't it? It's run a bit cold, this. Look, Carlito thing is decent plotting. Earnestly enjoyed it before WrestleMania. I guess then. Like, whenever he does why not me? Like, and it's Carlito, so here's a guy that has a finisher literally called a backstabber. He's prone to want to do this. Don't give him reason to do it. So I don't mind that. I don't think all is that rosy with Santos at the moment. I didn't love the WrestleMania match. I think we fantasy booked 6 different versions of it that could have been better than what we actually got.
It ended up just being, here's some celebrities.
Yeah. I mean, you know, better than Punk Joe, per the stats. But it didn't deliver particularly on the night. It wasn't overly satisfying. Santos lost. He's winning the matches that don't matter as opposed to the one that do. And that's really important. At some point, you've got to start winning.
Be money
ones.
In the bank, though.
Yeah. But at this point, I don't want to overstate this, but I sort of feel like if he wins Money in the Bank, it's yet another one of those briefcases where it's like, oh, if we don't give him this, he's knackered.
Yeah.
And that's not really the best standing you want a potential Money in the Bank winner to get. But
maybe
we'll see.
Maybe draft him. He might be good as a
draft, I think, is for the best because I just don't.
He could have a ripper with Priest for the title.
He could, and I'd maybe think it is time. Considering that we've got Carlito as the new LWO offshoot story, it might be time to lift Santos and Legado's away from them as well.
Yeah. I had a problem with what came next, but okay. Not for very long, because they're in the luxury boxes in this sold-out arena yet again.
Yeah.
A WWE sellout.
You're joking. Not another one?
So they're in the box. They've got the damage control box. Dakota Kai says, Io Sky will eventually get her title back. And we're here to watch the main event. Naomi Bailey, watch these two people. We don't like either of them, and we'll watch them tear each other apart. And she says, by the way, don't forget, Kabuki Warriors are still tag team champions. I was like, fine, nothing wrong with that. But I was like, oh, I get it. You probably don't want people mugging for the cameras whilst you're trying to cut this promo. But why is the box next to them completely empty? And then Jake Cargill and Bianca Belair show up.
They got a box as well. Because they've got a vested interest in the main event. Of course they are.
Exactly. Naomi comes out for the main event. We'll come back to this in a second because I really liked what they did next. It was a Cody Rhodes promo from the UK live tours that they've been doing. So good they didn't come up around here next time. Mm. He talks about the title making the man or the man making the title. And he's happy to bring the Undisputed Championship around the world. Little dig at AJ Styles there, of course. But he mentions how AJ's now the number one contender for the belt. Called him the modern excellence of execution. And he looks forward to the match with Styles at Backlash. There's a contract signing coming up this week. I love these new things that they're doing.
Yeah, just again, just a fresh idea.
Mm.
That for so long there were no fresh ideas ever. It was this and it was always going to be this. A little thing here I want to raise and indeed praise. So Cody Rhodes has been already generating positive press for how long he sticks around after the shows to sign every single last thing, and that's awesome. I'd heard on like a reputable news source somewhere it said he had a private car for getting around.
Yes.
Because he knew this was going to be part and parcel of it, and he's embracing this side of it as well. Brilliant. Love it.
Is that so like the coach of the other wrestlers doesn't get held up? Is that what that means?
I think so. Yeah. That's what I took that to mean, yeah. And, there's a lot of WWE... press stuff getting leaked out so that we think these things. It's like, isn't bloody grim.
Also, like, if he's in London, that meet is definitely running.
Oh, Christ, yeah. He's got a black cab and the driver's got the knowledge. So he's not using a sat-nav. Like, it's not an Uber. But what's Cody's not getting enough praise for, that I'm aware of, it's not just for sticking around till what, like, 11:30, midnight, signing all his autographs? Till 2:30 in the morning. He's watched Wheel of Fortune. He's seen AJ Styles defeated LA Knight. In his gear, no less. Sticking around at the O2. I bet that building is pretty much shut down and the only people left there are the Knight staff. I bet they've got to let him out. I bet he wants to hope that it's not like the Knight staff, like delayed Christmas do. You know, sometimes in the service industry, you have your Christmas do early into the new year. Like, he wants to hope that the Knight porters are going out in April because otherwise he's locked that building all night. He's not getting out. It's like a Partridge Press where I have to sleep in a skip. Like, because there he was in his wrestling attire.
Committed
to the bit. Like, this was easy. This was like, what, last half an hour of the show?
Yeah.
Half two. Half two in the morning, UK. Fair play to Cody, I say.
If only it'd been that cool window that we have when the clocks go forward or back or whatever it is, and we get the shows at midnight for a bit.
Well, indeed.
It'd been a slightly better.
Not that obviously, you know, we're joking. It was recorded in advance. Not that I would have wanted a botch or an injury or anything like that.
That's the exact same thing.
If something occurs, then I'm going to have to put a night over. And then just like a really aggressive cut to a different promo, and like in the ring in a city of Cody going, LA Knight, and then back to Cody.
Just leave the video as it is. The man makes the title, the title makes the man. I'm going to bring the Undisputed Championship around the world. I saw earlier on that LA Knight became the number one contender. He's the modern excellence of execution, I'd say. I look forward to my contract signing next week with LA Knight ahead of Backlash.
They could have just like forced him to cut a horribly generic one where he was non-specific. But we're going to drop it in afterwards, Cody. Nobody will know that you were hedging your bets. Yeah, I've always wanted to go to France to defend my title against a guy that's got two initials in the first name and a one-syllable surname. And I can't wait for that. See you there, France.
But yeah, I love all the new stuff they're trying, including that great tracking shot from the crowd up the ramp into the ring. Well, the company should copy it. Oh, they do. Naomi versus Bailey in the main event for the world title.
Did you catch, speaking of little production moments, did you catch Naomi doing the point up to Jade and Bianca and then it cuts the box and they're doing the point back and it goes back to the ring and she's pointing. It's like, how have you caught that? That's brilliant.
So early on, Naomi immediately tries for a pin, gets a one count. They exchange pin attempts. They don't want to kick each other's asses, basically, because they're friends. But they eventually realize, no, we're going to have to go for this. And they sort of both accept that as a double crossbody to slow things down. Naomi capitalized on it, though. Bulldog, near fall, rear view, two count. Bailey rolls out after the rear view, near fall. And we go to a break. When we come back, Naomi's got a leaping punch and a face driver into the turnbuckle. Goes up top, crossbody gets two. Bailey comes back, hitting her with a belly-to-back suplex for a near fall. Tries the elbow drop, but Naomi gets her knees up. Naomi goes to the apron, hits a face buster for a two count. Split leg and moonsault, but this time Bailey gets her knees up. She hits the jumping knee, goes back to the top and hits the elbow drop. Bailey gets a two count off that. Tries to settle for the rose plant, but Naomi counters, gets her in a submission. Bailey has to reverse that into a pin. And they sort of stand in the middle of the ring and be like, well, all's fair in love and war.
Yep.
Elbows back and forth. There's a step-up knee from Naomi. Bailey spills to the outside of the back of that. Naomi hits a springboard splash, but Bailey hits a belly-to-belly onto the commentary desk as they're on the outside. And I thought, oh, no, this is going to go to a count-out. That's rubbish. But it all was saved because, oh, look at that. Look at the time. It's Tiffy time. Tiffany Stratton shows up, lays them both out. Bailey first, I think it was, to end the match. And she chucks them back into the ring, both of them, and hits the prettiest moonsault ever, poses to end the show. Yes, a DQ finish, but it's Tiffany Stratton, so I'll allow it. And I sense this is going to a triple threat of backlash.
Probably, yeah. Not just because it's Tiffany Stratton. I like I don't mind a finish like this if there's a development that I'm invested in.
And it doesn't happen every single match, every single week.
Yeah, it's all case by case, and you absolutely can't abuse it. And for the longest time now, WWE have run predominantly clean finishes. Mm-hmm. Not clean finishes, decisive finishes.
Yes.
Like, it's a long time since we're in the days of every single TV match goes to a DQ or a count out or something like that. So I don't feel like aggrieved by it anymore. It's just a very, very dated criticism. And Tiffany Stratton is better in the mix than not. I think she's one of the more exciting and dynamic wrestlers on this show. I didn't love this match, and I actually watched elements of it back this morning just to try and like sort of compose my thoughts on it, because I was watching it on Saturday morning. And this is what I mean. I felt like the show just dipped and never really got itself out of the funk in the second hour. The crowd weren't really into it. It was an all babyface match, and that can happen, but you could not have either wrestler here betray their babyface values. You couldn't have Naomi just, for example, take a shortcut once to become the situational heel, because that's not been the character that's just come back, and you've got her babyface friends up in a box next to the heel, so you really couldn't. Bailey has just turned, so you can't have her be like, everything she's been saying, everything she's been doing, back on the path of righteousness. I'm going to cheat it. you just cannot do it.
Yeah.
So while I think I was praising the matchmaking on the preview, I think I was wrong. I'm not convinced it's particularly great matchmaking ultimately.
And when they got to it, I agree. Yeah.
I think it put two of them in a situation where like the crowd just, it was one of those matches. Like, you see this a lot, the amount of wrestling like we watch. You can see sometimes wrestlers fighting for the atmosphere to come back rather than just getting the atmosphere and generating it. And this was that for me. Didn't mind that the finish played out the way it did. Like Tiffany Stratton back in the conversation.
I'll give WWE the benefit of the doubt, because like you say, I was like, oh, very quick turnaround for the title match. But if this leads to a triple threat, people would assume, well, that's kind of stupid as well, because that's two baby faces taking on one heel. We've just seen the US title match at WrestleMania and how well that worked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I've no worries of that. I think like Naomi's like at a certain level. Tiffany Stratton is constantly improving. Like,
yes.
Bailey's a general. I've got no worries about that match. Again, it's maybe about placement and about how it's agented. To your point, the WrestleMania match was a perfect example of it. I don't think, anyway, that crowd in Lyon, is it?
Oui.
I don't think they're going to be quiet for anything.
No. It's going to be Puerto sports. Rico. It's going to be, all that. All over again.
Malheureusement. That means, unfortunately.
Indeed.
The haters.
But let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed in the comment section. We haven't got one of them. We're not on YouTube. In the comment section on X, at What Culture WWE, where you can follow both of us.
Let us know what you think about our views in this podcast. in the form of requesting a cameo or we get money for it. Probably, I don't know.
At What Culture WWE for all of us. You can follow Michael Hamflet at
Michael Hamflet.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts. I've got the Raw preview and the AEW Dynasty review coming your way a little bit later on today. But this has been the SmackDown review with the Bloodline destroying Kevin Owens, AJ Styles becoming the number one contender, Street Profits can become the number one contenders as well, Tiffany Stratton crashing the women's title match, Carlito versus Santos Escobar, and A-Town Down Under mugging off Triple H.
SmackDown review. It had all this and so much more.
We'll see you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.